Well, we're a little late this morning, but we'll make do. I don't know how long I'll be going here. This might be a little shorter than normal, and I'm sure there won't be any complaining about that. But I don't know if any of you have seen the commercial on television, that it begins in a boardroom where you have some executives coming in, men and women, and they're dressed in their suits, and they're sitting down at a table to start a board meeting, and all of a sudden they turn into 4-year-olds. Around their Haribo gummy bears. And they just start, oh, look at this little gummy. I like them flying in the air. And it just drives me crazy to watch that because that is so unnatural and funny in a way, but still unnatural. Imagine if you came into a church and you've seen something like that. You've seen people acting like 4-year-olds. Now, you probably never will. Although, I've came close a couple times to seeing some things done by people literally rolling around on the floor and even in indecent ways that was just nothing more than childish, immature behavior. You're more likely, though, when you go into churches today, and I'm not singling out this church. When I say church, I mean churches throughout, particularly the United States. I can't answer beyond that. You're more likely to find spiritually immature people, or maybe it's better to say that you're highly likely to find spiritually mature people. It's amazing at some of the surveys that you read about men going out and asking questions to people who attend church, people who attend evangelical churches. They ask them questions that they've been attending for years. Some of them since they've been children, and now they're young adults. They can't, for instance, name the Ten Commandments. They can't name the 12 apostles. They have no idea. They'll start off well, but they don't know the names of the 12 apostles. They don't know the order and names of the New Testament books, let alone the Old Testament. But this is nothing new. This is nothing new with God's people. If you go back to, we're not turning there, but if you go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." This is God speaking to his people. You have rejected knowledge, and so I reject you from being a priest. We are called today a priesthood of believers, aren't we? As we read in Peter. And as such, we should be growing spiritually and growing in knowledge as the time goes on. I almost said daily, but I don't want to say daily. That's maybe being a little too extreme. But we should be growing, shouldn't we? This lack of knowledge that we read about here in Hosea is later addressed 800 years down the road in the New Testament. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? Paul says he came to Corinth to speak to them as spiritual men. Obviously, this is called 1 Corinthians, but obviously there was another time when Paul was talking to the Corinthians and teaching them. And he had just left Athens, and now he's in Corinth. And I think he was looking forward to speaking to them some deeper truths and some greater things, because things didn't go that well with him in Athens. He kind of left Athens kind of down in spirit, if you might say, because of all the idols and the gods and the philosophies that were going on there. So he's coming to Corinth, he's coming to a place, he knows the people, and he's coming to speak to them as spiritual men, and he can't, because he says, you are still infants. He said, I gave you milk, and now I came to give you meat, but I can't give you meat. Now, was this a group that was not believers? No, they were believers. If you read in the beginning chapters, tell us about how they came behind in no gift. They were blessed with gifts of the Spirit, but that's where it ended. They didn't apparently continue on and to search things out after Paul left them, and they did not grow. They were, as it says, still nursing on milk, and they were not able to receive solid food. And how did this reflect in their lives and in their behavior? Well, if you read through this, you'll find that in chapter 1, it says they quarreled. There were quarrels among them. Chapter 5, there was immorality amongst them, immorality that they weren't even judging, immorality unlike seen even in pagans, Paul said. And in 11, there were divisions. They were divided amongst one another. Sounds like a mess, doesn't it? You ever been in a church like that? Well, yeah, you're right. You're in one right now. We've had divisions. We've had quarrels. We've had to deal with immorality. And there hasn't been a church that I have been in that I haven't had to have the same thing. In fact, the last church that we were a part of when we were in Alaska is not existing anymore because of the strife and the quarrels. It's just a terrible thing. It's all marks, if you're a believer, of spiritual immaturity. But what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to look at four commands. Four commands we have in the New Testament regarding our spiritual maturity, our maturity in Christ. And yes, I'm saying commands. We're not under the law of Moses anymore. But we do have commands in the New Testament. And if you search out in the New Testament, you will see some of these commands. I just want to look at four of them this morning that have to do with maturity. So if you will, let's first turn to Hebrews chapter 5. And I'll begin Hebrews 5, verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Does that sound familiar? For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Command number one, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. This is very similar to what we had Paul saying to the Corinthians, isn't it? Whoever wrote this letter, we don't have a consensus on it, although I believe it was Paul. Some think it might have been Apollos. I don't know, but it's the same thing being said here, that they were still feasting on milk and not on solid food. And they were not growing. They were not leaving the elementary things of Christ and going on to the deep things, the things that bring us into a closer relationship, the things that bring us into understanding what our relationship is with God and what our relationship is going to be with Him once this life is over. These are the things we're to move on to. And It's just unnatural, is the best way I can put it. It's unnatural to remain an infant, both physically and spiritually. Would you agree with that? It certainly is unnatural for an infant to remain an infant, because if an infant remained an infant, we'd all be running around here naked on our hands and knees, and we'd be little monsters, really. We grow. Naturally speaking, we grow. We grow physically. We grow intellectually. We grow emotionally. And if we don't, then it's because of some disease or some other thing. But it's not natural not to grow. And so it's the same spiritually. To grow to spiritual maturity, it says here in Hebrews, what I get out of it anyhow, requires practice and training in the discernment of good and evil. How do we do that? How do we discern good and evil, and how do we practice it? The discernment of good and evil is found in reading the Word and studying the Word. Okay? And the practice is just that, putting what we've studied and putting what we've read into practice. That produces spiritual maturity. We read, we study, we put it into practice, and we start to grow. Little by little, but we do grow. So, command number one is, for our purposes this morning, is, first of all, we are to press on to maturity. Press on to maturity. We're not to just be content where we're at now, where we if we're still where we're at now, where we were 10 years ago, my goodness, there's been no growth, and that's unnatural, spiritually speaking. Command number two is much like the first command that we have. We are to grow up. Grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 for that. Been through Ephesians a lot with Pastor Greg. Although that seems like so long ago. Probably was. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verses 10 through 16. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And now let's pay close attention to the next verses here. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to what? Grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, it causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Have you ever had anybody say to you, or have you ever said to somebody, why don't you just grow up? Seems like people say that to me all the time. No. I've said it to people more often than not, my children, and I've had it said to me more often than not by my wife. Yeah, see, she's already whispering to Mary over there. Well, in essence, this is what Paul is saying to all of us here in Ephesians. There are great consequences. Think about that. Great consequences to our thoughts and actions in regard to this. We should be, as well as need to be, growing spiritually in Christ until that day when we will reach full maturity. And that's not in this life, as we see here. It says, until we all attain the unity of faith, in verse 13, and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I believe that's speaking of the future. I believe that's speaking when we will be with the Lord. We will finally reach full maturity. We will finally reach, the King James uses the word perfection here. That's about the only translation that does. All the others say maturity. Our process of growth keeps us grounded in the truth and keeps us from being deceived by every Tom, Dick, and Harry who has his own ideas on what God is doing. And our growth contributes to the growth and proper functioning of the body. That's all said here. Now, that's why I said pay attention to this, because this is how serious this is. Our spiritual growth protects us number one, from being deceived by every doctrine that comes around. And believe me, it's like every other day you can hear a new doctrine coming out. How do we know that that's good or bad? How do we know if someone is standing up in the name of Christ and proclaiming something is right? Ooh, we go to the Word, don't we? We study the Word. If we're not studying the Word, then we're going to believe anything. Many, many churches today have little babies in them because they take for granted whatever they're being taught from up here at their churches. And more often than not, this book here is hardly ever opened. Or if it is opened, it's giving some scriptures totally out of context. It sounds good for the moment, but if you're truly grounded in the Lord and the Spirit of God dwells in you, there's going to be a little voice that's going to say something like, it just sounds good, but it just doesn't sound right. You need to go back home. You need to get into your Word and look at that and find out why it doesn't sound right. It's so easy to take a scripture out of context, lift it out of the text, and then make a whole doctrine out of it. Then if you started to look through the text and see why it's in the text and see what came before it and after it and see what it says about it in other areas of the scripture, God's Spirit will lead you to the truth concerning that. And how does that affect you? It affects you individually, but it also affects every member of the body of Christ. This is what Ephesians 4 is saying here. It's saying that we are to be no longer children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. There's a lot of trickery going on out there in the Word of Faith movement. A lot of trickery. And some of it was exposed right on the news. And one particular preacher said to the news reporter when he asked him, you know, this is all just tricks you're doing. He said, how can you deceive these people like that? And he says, if these tricks will bring one person to Christ, then I think I'm doing my job. As he drove away in his caravan of limousines to his private jet. These are the men, these are the things that Paul is talking about here, that we are no longer to be children deceived by that thing and by every wind of doctrine, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but we're to speak the truth in love and grow up in all aspects of Christ. Grow up in all aspects of Christ. You know, when a preacher is saying something about prosperity, health, wealth, whatever, what did Jesus say about that? Let's go back and see what Jesus... We're to grow up in maturity in Christ. Now, am I saying it's wrong to be wealthy? No. Is it great to be healthy? Praise God. Not too many of us are healthy here. And some of us may... You know what? I think the majority of us, no matter what degree it is, are wealthy. We may not have great bank accounts, but we have every need met. We have roofs over our heads. I mean, you look around the world and some countries, the way people are living, we are certainly wealthy, I believe, and blessed. But you've got to be careful in listening to those who are going to say that that's the way you're supposed to be. Because they are doing that out of scheming craftiness for their own purposes. And like I said, how do you know? It sounds so good from some of them. Go back and look at Christ. Become mature in Christ. Read about Christ's life. Read about what he had to say about this. He said to be content with what? Food and clothing. That's it. Christ said, be content with food and clothing. And then, and seek what? Seek first the kingdom of God. If you do that, if you seek first the kingdom of God, if you are content with having food, and you are content with having clothing, whether you get it from the Goodwill store or not, guess what? The kingdom of God is yours. Not the kingdom of this world. And that's what so many of us, and I don't mean Christians, but there are some Christians too, but so many in this world today are looking for. This world is their kingdom. This world is all they have. This world is the only thing they have hope in. And what happens? Well, the statistics are out there. Every night on the news, you read about the opioid crisis. Why is there such a crisis with opioids? Because people are trying to find something to satisfy them that won't satisfy them in a world in which they have no hope, because they have no hope beyond this life. Suicides are going up again. Beyond this life. And rebellion. Rebellion against parents. Rebellion against authority. It just sickens me to see the rebellion against the police officers in this country. Now, I know there are some who go above and beyond what they should do, but the majority of them don't. But yet, they are just treated like scum. When a police officer is out there and he's telling you, get out of the car and get down on the ground. Get out of the car and get down on the ground. Don't argue. Why? What did I do? I didn't do nothing wrong. It's a rebellion against authority, and it's a rebellion against God's authority. Because God is the authority figure over all authorities. I get a little carried away there. That's not in my notes. We still will finish on time. But, and lastly here in Ephesians in 16, verse 16, chapter 4, it says, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. That is each one of us. Each individual member of the body of Christ, not just in here, but in every church or in every home where there is a member of the body of Christ, each individual person is to cause the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's a pretty important obligation and command for us, isn't it? We are to be working and doing our part as the body of Christ, whatever part we are, whatever joint or ligament, in building this body of Christ up. That doesn't mean we're going out and trying to find someone to bring in the doors here. Praise God, that would be great. But that means speaking about our faith to others wherever we may be and have opportunity to do so. Be it at work, be it out in the store, be it out for a walk in the park. If an opportunity presents itself, then we are to be working to build the body up and to build one another up who are already in the body. That's the real point. Many are suffering here, in this body right here, in many ways. Our job, as whatever part we are, is to help build each other up in love. Not quarrels, not division. That's the command that we have here. So, we've said, number one command we looked at was to press on to maturity. Number two, we are to grow up in Christ. Number three is to be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 2. We'll read, we're just going to read verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself, this is a command, approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Now, in the in my translation, the NASB, it says to be diligent. In the King James Version, it says to study, to show yourself approved. In the ESV, I don't like it at all. It says, do your best. I think the correct idea here is found in the NASB, where it says be diligent, because the word that's used here in the Greek means to exert yourself. To me, that's more than just being the best, to doing your best. It's to exert yourself. That's what the Greek word means. Exert yourself to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. How do you do that? How can you accurately handle the word of God? You've got to exert yourself. You've got to take the time. You've got to put in the effort to read and study this word. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if you exert yourself in a way which will mark you as one who is approved by God, one of his own workmen without shame, who can accurately handle the word of truth, which is the word of God. You will notice that in all these instances where we're referring and speaking of growing mature, growing to maturity, what are we finding? What did we find in Hebrews? What did we find in Ephesians? What are we finding here in 2 Timothy? What does it's saying to grow into maturity requires what? It requires the knowledge of God's word. That's how we grow in maturity. And it's a growth that will never stop as long as we are in this flesh and in this life. It should not stop. It should continue. We are to exert ourselves in learning God's word so that we can rightly divide the truth. We've got to exert ourselves so that we can wean ourselves from milk to solid food. You can't just jump. An infant can't just jump. You know, imagine a one-month-old baby. You're tired of giving it milk, and then you throw a piece of steak in its mouth. What's going to happen? It's going to choke, or it's going to spit it up, or whatever. It takes time. It takes effort. But eventually, the baby gets solid meat. And eventually, the baby's able to take it. And eventually, you see the baby growing and growing and growing. And pretty soon, you got a grandkid that used to be down there, up here. Well, it's no different for us. To grow spiritually, we have to, as in every instance that we looked here so far, be in the Word of God, digging into the meat of the Word of God. If we do that, and I told you we might end a little early today, anybody object to that? Well, if we do that, it brings us to our fourth command, which is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 14 to the end of the chapter. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Here we have the Apostle Peter saying essentially the same thing that Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 4. There's going to be unprincipled men that are going to distort the truth. They're doing it for their own edification, but in reality, it says here, it's to their own destruction. There's a day coming, as we know, when God is going to say enough is enough, and the judgment will come. And all of those who are phony are going to be judged, and their testimony will be wiped off the face of the earth. Think of these men and this one man in particular that I talked earlier about, Gilbert, who just poured his heart over. This was, in all appearances, he was a godly man. He was teaching alongside of Gilbert, and he said things that sounded good. And then he came to the United States to get a job, and I believe I met him when he was here, and he seemed like a very intelligent, reasonable man. And now he's going around saying that he is the Messiah and that he is going to come on the white horse and bring judgment to this earth. You know what Gilbert told him? Brother, you need to see a doctor. That's what he told him. Well, of course he does. He's delusioned. And who casts all these delusions? It's Satan, isn't it? And how does Satan bring about delusions? What does he use? Anybody, just say it. You can talk. He uses God's word, doesn't he? Satan will use the word of God out of context to bring delusion to us if we don't know the context of this scripture and this word. This is why we've got to study. We need to be steadfast in the truths that we know, and we need to be able to answer those who ask questions of us. Who ask questions is, you're a Calvinist? I get that a lot. I said, no, I'm not a Calvinist. I said, I'm a child of God. But what they're talking about is they want to know about predestination and election. And what's your view on that? Can you explain that to someone? Can you go to God's word and show them, this is why I believe it. I've read it and I've studied it and I've read it and I studied it and I rejected it because I said, this can't be true. And the more I read it and the more I studied it, finally God just slapped me upside the head and said, this is in my word. This is what my word says. You either accept it or you don't. And of course, the Spirit of God will have you accept it because it's what God's word says. But are you able to defend your faith? Are you able to defend why you believe in predestination, why you believe in election? There's a lot of things, you know, we all are theologians to a certain extent because we study God's word, but we're not all going to be professors in a college teaching theology. There's a lot of big words they use. We had one on, what was it, antinomianism? That's a lot of big syllable word that theologians use. Sometimes I think to myself, if you mean no law, why don't you just say no law? Why do you got to say antinomianism? Because it makes you look smarter. No, I'm just kidding. I use the word too. But you got to get into God's word. And how do you study, how do you study God's word? That's a question a lot of people have asked me, and I've heard people ask, how can I study God's word? Well, there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can either, one, take one of the books in here, whatever book you want, and study that book until you know that book front and back. Whether it be the Gospel of Matthew, whether it be 1st or 2nd Timothy, study it front and back. Read it, read it, read it. Its words start popping out. Underline words that you see that are repeated. This word is repeated. Salvation, 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 salvation. Grace, 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 grace. Keep reading it and keep studying it. And then learn about why, what this word means. Why it's being said so much here. Where else is it being said in the scripture? That's one way. Another way is just take a topic. Take a topic you're interested in. If you don't really understand predestination, if you don't really understand election, well then, take it up. There's a wealth of material out there to help you in doing this. I like to use BibleHub.com. It's one of my favorites. And I'll go to BibleHub.com and I'll put a verse in. And there's from those verses, there's a thing up above where you can click on commentaries. And it brings down a whole slew of commentaries by different men on that one verse or that one book. And just study that term, that topic, until you know that you can answer any questions that you think may be asked of you. But you gotta exert yourself. A 15-minute morning devotional is not going to you will not spiritually become mature with a 15-minute morning devotional. Ain't going to happen. Just reading the Bible to say that I read the Bible, I'm going to read the Bible for 15 minutes every day, that's great. But if you're just deciding you're going to read it all the way through, and that's all you do is read it, okay, I got my 15 minutes in, you're not going to grow spiritually. You got to exert yourself. You got to dig yourself into it. Am I over? Wow, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, like I said, Andrew, sometimes I write a bunch down. I don't want to get to it. So that's really what I had today, is to grow and mature in Christ. And growth and maturity in Christ comes through reading the Scriptures. So let's pray, and then the guys will come up, and we'll close with a song and a benediction. Heavenly Father, we...